Ladies and gentlemen, good to have you with your host, Carl Thornton Jr., on the program that I enjoy hosting, that I feel honored to host, Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we're going to be taking a look shortly at something that I'm calling politics, social media, and attitudes. Ronnie Laws with his song entitled Grace is still helping to move us through the hour. We featured him on a previous hour of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. He's pretty mellow. All right, so we're going to take a look at it, at that connection between politics, social media, and attitudes. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know something. The angle at which we're going to come at this will probably be different from the angle that you're normally accustomed to hearing us approach it. So stay with me. I think you're going to find this interesting. But before we go there, I want to let you know, throughout this hour, I also want to let us get some information regarding the flu. Different things about the flu, and I want you to just be thinking about it. Think about what you hear, and you make your decision as to how you want to handle the situation. Each of you make your own decisions. You know, husbands and wives talk with each other, maybe do some more research, decide what you want to do with regards to getting the flu vaccine yourselves, your children, those of you who have children who may have pre-existing conditions, medical conditions. Definitely have some conversation with your pediatricians as well, your children's pediatricians. But at any rate, courtesy of WebMD, I'll be sharing with you some vignettes regarding the flu shot. And again, you decide what you want to conclude and maybe even how you want to follow through. Here we go. Here's the first one.
Wondering whether the flu shot is safe or worthwhile? Here's the truth. Can it give you the flu? No. Some shots contain viruses that are weakened, but they can't cause an infection. You could have some soreness at the injection site, muscle aches, or a mild fever afterward. These are just reactions your body makes to a foreign substance entering it. Serious side effects are rare, though. Does the shot really work? Yes. Some years it's more effective than others, but it always boosts your odds of staying healthy through flu season. Should you really get the shot every year? Yes. Different strains of the virus could be going around. Each year, the vaccine protects you from 3 or 4 strains that scientists think will be the most common, and your protection from your previous vaccine wears off over time. Can it give my child autism? No. Numerous studies have found no link between vaccines and autism. However, there are life-threatening risks associated with the flu, like pneumonia. Getting your child a flu shot is the best way to protect them from that. The bottom line is that the flu shot is safe for almost everyone 6 months old or older. Your doctor may have you skip it if you've ever had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine, or if you have a rare disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome.
So one of the things that I'd like to ask you about that is this. How many of you have gone for years without getting the flu vaccine? Maybe you had the flu earlier in life, say maybe high school, maybe middle school age. You had the flu and you know what it felt like. You know what you went through. You know about the fever. You know about the aches. You know about all that stuff you experienced as your body dealt with the flu. I don't mean something that was like the flu. I don't mean a vaccine. You had the flu. For whatever reason, you decided for some years after graduating from high school that you would not get the flu vaccine. And so you didn't. For years, maybe 6 years, maybe 12 years, maybe 15 years, you opted out. You didn't get that flu vaccine. And each of those years, you did fine. You never came down with the flu. And then one year you decided, you know what, it's been 15 years since I got that flu vaccine. I've been fine without it, but I think that this year, just to play it safe, I'm going to go ahead and get vaccinated for the first time in 15 years, but I'm going to do it. And you went on ahead and got vaccinated. What happened with you? Did you experience any of those symptoms that he talked about? Did you experience any reaction that caused some discomfort, a little bit of soreness, a little bit of irritation at the site where the needle was injected? How long did that last? 1 or 2 days? How many of you say, well, I didn't have any of that happen to me. I got vaccinated and everything was fine. I never had any symptoms. I never had any discomfort. I think that's a good thing. How many of you say, well, yeah, I had one or two of those symptoms that you mentioned, lasted a few days, and that's it. I was fine after that. I think that's good. How many of you saying, no, when I finally got vaccinated, I experienced all the symptoms, every symptom that I experienced years prior when I actually had the flu. The soreness of body, the runny nose, the fevers, the head hurting, all the symptoms that I experienced when I actually had the flu, I experienced when I got the vaccination. And I was down for 3 weeks. I couldn't even go to work. I was so sick. Runny nose, I was in bad shape. I was coughing. I was in bad shape. How many of you say that was your experience when you got the vaccination? And then what happened the following year, the next 3 or 4 years, next 5 years? Did you go ahead and get vaccinated again, or did you decide to skip it? Some of you can't skip it because based on where you work, that vaccination, that flu vaccination may be mandated. But for those of you for whom it is not mandated, if you suffered any symptoms when you did get the vaccination, what did you do the following years? Did you go ahead and get vaccinated again, or did you decide to pass on it again like you used to do? And if you passed on it, you know what I'm wondering? Did you remain free from the flu without having been vaccinated? Did you catch the flu? And you know what I'm wondering? What were your experiences overall? What really seems to be the deal, the real deal, when it comes to getting vaccinated, not getting vaccinated? To vaccinate, not to vaccinate. Which way do we go? Like I said now, I'm going to be letting you all decide. I don't want to steer you in one direction or the other. I know that there are some people who are just set against getting the flu vaccine. There are others who will take it faithfully. What's your position? Do you say, well, I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not dead set against taking it, but I'm not committed to taking it every year either. I'm in the middle. Sometimes I'll take it and sometimes I won't. Those of you who are mandated, out of curiosity, would you take it each year if you were not mandated? Or would you kind of, you know, sometimes take it, sometimes not? But what would your position be? Well, while we're on that subject, I know that some of you have felt bad after getting the flu shot. Let's see what they have to say about that.
Getting your annual flu shot. Nice work. More than 200,000 Americans are hospitalized with the flu every year. But you can still catch the flu after a flu shot, and here are some reasons why. Every year, scientists decide what flu strains will be the most common during the flu season. The vaccines take at least 4 months to produce, so they have to make their best guess pretty early. Even in a well-matched year, the flu vaccine is only 60 to 90% effective. So if you come in contact with a virus very different from the vaccine, it may not protect you. It's also possible to catch the flu before the flu vaccine takes effect, usually about 2 weeks. Some believe you can catch the flu from the flu shot. That's just a myth. It's normal to have some side effects, like soreness where the shot was given. It's rare, but you may also get a low-grade fever or feel some aches. They'll probably only last 1 to 2 days, then you'll be back to normal. If you have different symptoms than aches after a shot, you may have caught a cold. Remember, it's cold and flu season. Still, the benefits of getting a flu shot far outweigh the risks. Even in a down year like this one, you'll be protected against half of the viruses out there. For WebMD, I'm Dr. Michael Smith.
Okay, so I'm letting you decide now. I'm letting you hear what they're sharing with us. And I know that some of you just aren't necessarily going to accept everything that the experts tell us. I understand that. And I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying you should not. It's each person's call, right? And each person's call regarding one topic to the next. All right. So what did you decide to do? What have you decided to do with your children? I know that there are other vaccines to be thinking about, but I definitely want you to be thinking about this one. Let's focus on that flu vaccine for now. See where we go with that. All right, so let's take a look now at politics, social media, and attitudes. And remember now, the angle at which we're going to look at this may be different from the angles that you may be accustomed to approaching this. Psychology Today is talking about social learning and political polarization. And they're going to let us know how we can become, in fact, how our social networks can actually contribute to helping people become wiser, more informed members of the electorate. In 2013, NASA published the latest data showing historical trends in Arctic sea ice levels over the last 30 years. Now, this is not a focus on climate change. We're using this to get us to the main point. So stay with me. Arctic sea ice is one of the strongest indicators of global climate trends. The data show that sea ice is decreasing rapidly. Today, however, to NASA's dismay, conservative pundits and lay people incorrectly interpreted the figure as showing that sea ice levels were increasing. Sea ice levels were increasing. Arctic sea ice is one of the strongest indicators of global climate trends. The data show that sea ice is decreasing rapidly. And conservative pundits and conservative lay people interpret the figure showing that sea ice levels were increasing. The data show that the amount of sea ice is going down. The conservatives say the exact opposite, that the amount of sea ice is going up. Social media discussions about these findings only appeared to worsen the problem as opinions on climate change appeared to become increasingly polarized. Contrary to Allport's contact hypothesis, it appeared that the more interaction there was among Republicans and Democrats on the topic of climate change, the more polarized and incorrect opinions about climate change appear to become. Not only did the opinions become more polarized, they also became more incorrect. In the last couple of years, many researchers have been blaming increasing polarization in people's beliefs about climate change on the process of what is called biased assimilation. Biased assimilation. That's where cross-party interactions reinforce partisan bias. Republicans are talking with Democrats. Democrats are talking with Republicans. And those cross-party interactions actually reinforce their partisan biases, and they exacerbate animosity across party lines. In their recent study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they found that the opposite is true, depending on how it's approached. They found that bipartisan social media networks significantly increase consensus about climate change, leading nearly 90% of both Republicans and Democrats to agree. that Arctic sea ice is in fact decreasing. Not only was polarization eliminated, but both groups came away with a better understanding of climate trends. They were also able to identify the source of the problem in earlier studies of social media. They were studying social media to try to find out what was behind, what was at the bottom of all of this rift between the two major parties when they discussed these issues like climate change. They said that the problem comes from what they're calling the priming effects of political imagery. Political imagery, what you see that serves as a priming effect. When they use the exact same social media setup that worked so beautifully to eliminate polarization, but this time they included the political party logos, which of course for the Republicans is the elephant, for the Democrats is the donkey. They included the political party logos on the bottom of the screen. When they did that, again using the same social media setup that had eliminated polarization previously, they used the same setup, but they added to that setup the elephant or the donkey. They found that political polarization, when they did that, remained strong, and people's opinions about climate trends remained inaccurate. When they added the Republican elephant, the Democratic donkey, to the website, at the bottom, not in your face, at the bottom of the screen, polarization kicked back in, and inaccurate thinking about climate change kicked in strong. This study included 2,400 subjects and was replicated a dozen times using independent social media communities. That enabled them to identify a causal finding. The results show that the cause of polarization is not cross-party communication. They said the communication in a politicized social context is what causes the problem. It's not that Republicans are talking with Democrats. Democrats are talking with Republicans. They say that is not the problem. The problem is when you politicize the social context. And you can do that just by adding imagery, just by adding an elephant to the bottom of the screen, a donkey to the bottom of the screen, and get people's minds focused on party affiliation. The priming effects of political imagery cause people to become entrenched in their partisan views. The main recommendation from their study is that cross-party communications can be vastly improved by removing or by reducing political symbols and partisan logos from social media settings. It's also true for broadcast news programs in which people discuss climate change. When symbols of partisan identity are removed from the screen, people become much more willing to learn from each other. And as a result, they come to an informed consensus. While political priming creates emotional arousal and therefore makes social media spaces more entertaining and engaging, it also directly reduces the efficacy of these spaces for facilitating social learning and informational accuracy. And ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say this before. I really want us to focus on desiring and pursuing accuracy, largely and partly because we want to care about and value our own integrity. Let's not kick integrity to the curb just so that we can win the argument, win the debate, or absolutely show our faithfulness, our loyalty, our undying loyalty to our party of choice. You should care more about your integrity, your character, than you do your party affiliation. Anyway, let's look at this some more when I come back. Just a few.